Good afternoon. We're back with another episode of the Sean Mu Hoops podcast. It's been about a month since the last one recorded, but pleased to have a special guest, Dante Calabria, who is one of the original podcast guests back in the fall. Dante has some big coaching news coming up, but how are you doing this morning?
Doing well. Thank you.
So last time we chatted, you're getting ready to have your first head coaching season at Kaiser. And I know a lot has changed since then, but just wanted to touch on how the season went for you overall. I know you guys made the tournament, did really well in conference and had a great year overall. So just wanted to kind of touch on how the season went for you.
It was really a great year. I had a really good group of kids that really worked, and a good staff. We worked well together. We got off to a tough start. I mean, I think we were 4-0 or whatever, and then ended up at one point we were 7-6, and then it seemed like things started to click, and we started really, you know, executing and playing well. Some of the defensive stuff that I put in, guys started to understand a little bit better, and the better teams that we played, it seems like we played better, and had a really good conference season. I think we were 13-5, came in second, lost in the conference championship game in overtime, and then we were fortunate to make the national tournament as an at-large team and lost in the first round, but we had a great showing. We were up by 4 points with about 5 minutes left.
So Dante, you talked about making the tournament, but I know you guys, as I think the seventh seed, were in the kind of one of the last brackets to be announced. So how nerve-wracking was it for you and the guys, obviously at a different scale than the NCAA tournament, which is pretty magnified, but how nerve-wracking was it just kind of waiting till the last minute?
It was tough because the year before, only one team from our league was accepted. This year there was going to be two because we had 10 teams now in the league. So if you have 10 teams, you're guaranteed two teams at least into the tournament. And because we lost in the finals, we did not have a guaranteed spot. So teams kept coming and brackets were getting filled. And, you know, it was kind of tough. We were the last ones to be announced, or next to last. I can't remember. And the guys were sweating a little bit. I kind of had an idea we were going to be a 6 or 7 seed. But, again, nothing's guaranteed, so it was a little bit nerve-wracking to put all that work in. And, you know, at one point we won 11 games straight and really went from number 25 to number 19 in the country in the NAI rankings. We didn't get a lot of love from the Raiders or anything like that. So it was tough. It was great when it finally came up, but it was a little bit nerve-wracking.
What you know, as kind of the first year of being the head coach at Kaiser, looking back on it, what were some of the biggest takeaways or learning experiences just from a coaching standpoint?
Well, I benefited a lot of my career playing for really good coaches. Coach Smith, Coach Miller in high school. I played for Coach Messina, Ettore Messina, who's now in San Antonio. I played for him. Luca Bonchi, who's a great coach in Italy, Cesare Pancoto. I mean, a lot of guys who are very organized and very diligent on teaching and really having the players learn and understand. It's not just calling a play and going through the motions, trying to understand what you're trying to accomplish, and just basically understanding how to play within a philosophy. And so what I try to do, obviously my philosophy was much different than Coach Massimino's, who I took over for, and he had a bunch of success throughout his career. And I actually tried to incorporate some of his things in there too, because, again, I got to study and learn under him. And a lot of the things that he did, I really liked. It's just hard to put everything in that you want to put in, because – number one, the time is short to prepare, and number two, there's only so much you can put in before you blow the kid's mind. I remember as a player, and the more you put in, the more difficult it was. But I did learn trying to condense things, trying to really utilize the skill set that your players have and trying to take advantage of it. We were a really good shooting team, and I had a dominant big guy who was a first-team All-American. So I really tried to space the court, make them either double inside where we could kick it out and move the ball. We didn't run a lot of stuff coming off screens or anything like that. It was more spacing and movement. And we were able to execute it. Defensively, I wanted to play man-to-man. I didn't have the personnel, so I stole Coach Smith's point zone and made a few adjustments to adapt to our team. And it really worked for us. A lot of the other teams had no clue what we were doing. And so those things, you learned on the fly. You learned to read your team. You learned to read the personnel that you have as far as different skills, what to try to stay away from. And it takes time. We got off to like I said earlier, I think we were 7-6. And then it was all of a sudden, it's just like something clicked for us. And we just got on a roll. And it was downhill from there.
You know, I know obviously a great season, and then some big news came out in kind of the late June, July timeframe. And I remember just waking up one morning, scrolling through Twitter, and seeing a tweet that Larry Brown was headed to Italy. And usually I don't click into those things, but I clicked into it, and it mentioned your name as well as going over to Italy as an assistant with Larry Brown, which is very exciting news. So I was just curious how that came about and just the kind of the backstory on obtaining this new position.
Well, it all started when Coach Brown left SMU. We had talked a little bit, and he was expressing his interest to coach, and he wanted, you know, possibly to go to Europe. And for two or three summers, I was trying to go to Europe and get his name out there and about how he wanted to be there and talk to different teams, talk to different owners, general managers, whoever I needed to talk to, along with Massimo Rizzo, who's my agent and also a good friend of mine. And actually, you met him, I think, in Las Vegas this past summer.
Yep.
And so finally, we got to talking to a few teams. Nothing panned out. And then this spring, March, April, Massimo started having, you know, serious talks with Torino, Fiat Torino, in the Italian Serie A League. And it just happened that it all worked out. We flew out there. Coach was ready to take the job, ended up taking it. And now, just in a few days, we're going to be heading over there and getting ready to start the preseason with Torino.
So you mentioned conversations with Coach Brown, and you know, going back, there's the UNC connection. But you know, I know you guys have known each other for a long time. But do you kind of look up to him as a mentor, or you know, how's your relationship with him?
No, absolutely. Coach is definitely taking me under his wing and, you know, is mentoring me. And you know, I couldn't be more excited to – I gave up a head coaching job to go be an assistant in Europe, which is really – there's not many things I would have left Kaiser for. Kaiser was great to me. The administration, the athletics department was fantastic. And but when it comes to Europe, I spent – so much time in Europe as a player, I always wanted to go back and coach there. And the opportunity to go with someone like Coach Brown and basically just be with him, you know, 24 hours a day and just learn and absorb all kind of information and teaching and things like that is only going to make me a better coach. And you know, I jumped on the opportunity right away, and I couldn't be more excited.
Well, you guys definitely made a big splash over the summer, and I think over the last few years, the team was under 500, but looks like they definitely made a commitment to bringing in a lot of talent. I'm just going to go through some of the names just so, you know, people have an idea of all the talent that's coming over there. But Royce White, the former number one draft pick, Tequila Cotton, Tony Carr from Penn State, who was drafted in the second round, Trey Holder from Arizona State, Carlos Delfino, and then UNC's own James Michael McAdoo. So how was it, you know, when you guys got the job? I'm sure agents were hitting you up like crazy with players. What was the process kind of whittling it down to your targets and getting all this talent over there?
Well, it was a combination of many things. The other assistant coaches who are Italian, we were in constant contact with them because you do need to have Italian players also. And we were fortunate to get quite a few. Delfino qualifies as an Italian player. We got another national team player, Marco Cousin, who's a big five-man, about 6'10 to 6'11, athletic. Is getting a little older now at 32, but it's full of knowledge and is a great, great teammate. We had another national team player, Pepe Poeta, who is going to be an outstanding backup and a great guy in practice and helping these younger guys such as Tony Carr and Trey to adjust out of their first year, adjust into the professional rank and also in Italy. But coach likes to have guys that play multiple positions, likes guys that can defend. So, you know, those were the guys we were looking for. And very fortunately, we got quite a few, and we got some really good talent. And there's a couple other Italian guys. David Okeke, who's a young guy being looked at by the NBA, is an Italian. Simon Anumba is another guy, young guy that has potential. And we also got a Yugoslavian player, actually Serbian, that is another guy being looked at with the NBA in the circle there a little bit. So I know Coach is excited. I'm very excited, and the club is excited about the talent we were able to get. And now it's going to be our job to mesh this talent and make a winner out of it.
Yeah, definitely a lot of talent that can play multiple positions. Using James Michael McAdoo as an example, drafted in the NBA, played with the Warriors for a little while before getting traded over to the Sixers and kind of spending last year on a two-way contract. You know, for the players that spend a few years in the NBA and maybe it's not in their future, is it really the agent reaching out, or is it you guys also taking a look at some of these maybe fringe prospects and reaching out to them? But what's kind of the process for players at that level that are kind of on the brink of the NBA, but maybe starting to look overseas now that it's been a few years?
Well, James is a good example. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm actually going to see him today in Chapel Hill, which would be nice. But he's the kind of guy that had an open mind. When I first spoke to him and I told him about the project that we were doing and the possibility of him coming over there and playing, his mind was open. It wasn't closed, saying, oh, I'm an NBA guy. A lot of guys fall into that trap where they spend 6-7 years, two-way contract now that they have the two-way, or waiting for a 10-day, and you never establish yourself in Europe. And then when you go over to Europe, it's tough to get, you know, good teams and good jobs because you've not established yourself in the NBA as much. And you definitely haven't established yourself in Europe. And fortunately, he had an open mind. And once we got, you know, together, started talking, of course, he probably wants to come back and play in the NBA, but at least he's going to go over there and have the opportunity to play and get better on a daily basis, get in the gym and practice. And he's going to play top-level competition. We're not in the EuroLeague, but we are in the Euro Cup, which is the second highest level of basketball in Europe. And so he's going to have the opportunity, and he's going to work on being a five-man and also being a four-man and possibly play some three for us, depending on the lineup. So he's going to be able to develop a little bit more and then see what happens in the summer. Maybe he'll have an opportunity to get back into the NBA, or maybe he'll say, hey, listen, this wasn't a bad situation in Europe, and I'm going to go back. So it opens up a lot of avenues.
Yeah, you mentioned playing in the Euro Cup, which obviously a very prestigious international event, usually kind of going on during the week while the Serie A is going on the weekend. But what are your expectations for the season? All this, you know, new talent coming in, new coaching staff. What are kind of the expectations early on?
Well, it's hard to say. It's Coach Brown's first time being over in Europe, so there's going to be an adjustment period and a learning period. But I think that we've gotten on the Italian side as well as the foreign side a good group of guys, and I think their minds are going to be open. They're going to listen to Coach. Coach has that respect just by being in the gym, and he's a real humble guy, and so players see that right away, and they're going to work hard. They're going to listen, and I'm excited. I think that it's the potential is there, and you obviously need a little luck and stay injury free, but I think we have the chance to be a really good team and really be a contender. Can we win the championship? Who knows? That's the goal, but who knows? There's a lot of things that have to mesh together, but I think the potential's there to do it, and I'm excited for the opportunity to and especially the chance to work with these guys and also with Coach Brown.
Okay, well, in terms of Italian basketball, a league that you played in for a long time at the highest level, but now going back and going back to a city, Turin. What can you tell us about the city? I know in 2006 they had the Olympics, but how is the city overall?
It was the original capital of Italy, and it's a very, very old school, old style city, beautiful place. It's within driving distance of the beach, of the French beaches. It's Switzerland, the French mountains, the Italian mountains. Its location is wonderful location. The city has had a very good basketball before in the 70s and 80s. They went into a time when they didn't have a team. In fact, most of the years when I played, they did not have a team. And then the owner now, Antonio Forni, his family, they brought the team back to Torino, and they worked their way up from, I believe, the third division, won the championship, second division, have been in the first division ever since. Club for soccer is Juventus, international team that is probably one of the best, if not the best, soccer club in Europe. So it's got a lot going on.
Definitely. Well, last question for you. You mentioned seeing James Michael McAdoo in Chapel Hill. What's going on in Chapel Hill right now?
The team is going to play on a tour. I think they're going to the Bahamas. So they're allowed to have 10 days of practice. And so fortunately, I'm still here, and I don't get to do this very often. But Coach Williams is allowing me to come up and watch practice and get to see some of the guys. And, James is going to be there, so maybe get a workout in with James afterward. But I like to do this. I like to watch other coaches. Coach Williams has had unbelievable success both at Kansas and at North Carolina. And I love being able to see how practice is conducted and the demeanor of the guys and the effort. And it's always something for me to watch and learn. And just something for me that is exciting because, again, I don't get to go to Chapel Hill very often. I don't get to return there. And being able to return there and watch a practice, it's the highlight of my day.
All right. Well, I know you have a lot going on, so definitely appreciate the time and coming back on the podcast. But Was excited to, when I did see the news of you going over to Italy, was excited for you and definitely looking forward to seeing how the season goes and staying in touch throughout the season.
Absolutely, and it was good to see you in Las Vegas.
Well, thank you, and definitely appreciate the help, and it's been fun ever since we sat next to each other at the tournament in New Haven many years ago. It's been fun keeping in touch and you know, talking hoops with you over the years.
Absolutely, and those were good times back in the day, and hopefully many more to come, man.
Yeah, well, one quick aside, and I think we talked about it on the first podcast, but at the time, there's two guys, a lower-ranked guy who you really liked a lot higher than a more talented, higher-ranked guy. Now that they all finally finished up school, the lower-ranked guy, Gabe Levine, he just signed in the top level in Israel, and the other guy, I don't know what he's doing or what he's up to, so always something I remember of kind of your talent evaluation and kind of one of our first meetings.
Yeah, I remember. I would have loved to be able to sign Gabe and bring him down to, I think I was at Wilmington at the time.
Yep, yep.
But it wasn't meant to be, but he was definitely an incredible athlete and had a lot of potential to play. So congratulations to him on sticking it out and you know, accomplishing his goals and getting over into the top level in Israel. That's another good league.
Well, once again, appreciate the time and good luck this season.
Thanks so much, man. We'll be in touch.